All right. Looks like we're all back. Let's reconvene at 11:25. Item number six on the agenda is the proposed cultural monument, Cornelius Johnson Residence in Olympic Oak. Lambert.
Yes, good morning, Commissioners Lambert G. Singer. The item before you is the final recommendation for the Cornelius Johnson Residence and Olympic Oak Tree. The staff recommendation is that the commission declare the property an historic monument and adopt the staff report finding that the Cornelius Johnson Residence and Olympic Oak is associated with the lives of historic personages important to national, state, city, or local history as the residence of Cornelius Johnson, two-time Olympic athlete and gold medalist in the high jump in the 1936 Olympics in Berlin, Germany, for which he received the oak tree planted in the rear yard of the subject property. And with that, we have the applicant, Christian Meyer, here, I believe Susan as well, to recap the nomination.
Christian, how much time do you need?
Hi. It's Susan Anderson.
Susan, okay.
I'll begin the presentation, and I just want to get, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen.
Hey, Susan, how much time do you need?
No more than 10 minutes, 10
okay.
minutes.
All right. Diego, set the time for 10 minutes.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can everybody see this?
Not yet.
No? Okay, not quite sure what's happening here. Just a sec.
There we go.
All right, good morning, everybody. And I'm going to be, my name's Susan Anderson. I do want to say that it's delightful to be on the same agenda as the 60th anniversary. Christian Kosmith Meyer, my co-applicant, and I are going to be presenting on the Cornelius Johnson Residence and Olympic Oak nomination. And the home and the oak tree, reminding the commission that the home and the oak tree are linked to the personage of Cornelius Johnson. He was one of the city's outstanding athletes of the early 20th century. He's in the National Track and Field Hall of Fame. As a student in LA, he won many championships. He competed in the 1932 Los Angeles Olympics and was one of 18 African American members of the U.S. track and field team. He was a gold medalist in the high jump of these in the 1936 Berlin Olympics, which was hosted by Nazi Germany. In that games, he set a world record in the high jump that wasn't broken for 50 years. And the story's often told that at those Olympics, Hitler snubbed sprinter Jesse Owens, but Hitler actually left the games to avoid greeting LA's own Cornelius Johnson. Cornelius Johnson was the first African-American athlete to win gold at those Olympics. And in response to that Nazi snub, long before the black-gloved power salute at the 1968 Olympics by runner Tommy Smith and John Carlos, Cornelius Johnson led a protest from the winner's stand in the form of the Bellamy salute, commonly used then to pledge the flag in the United States. It was a critique of the Nazi salute. I know that some commissioners visited the home and the oak. This is a recent image of them. The single family home is a vernacular bungalow, very representative of the architectural style of the time it was built. And the property retains its integrity. There were very few renovations made, and you can see the backyard where the oak tree is and where Johnson practiced running and jumping as a child. As I mentioned, the property has not been substantially altered from when it was built in 1903. Another point regarding its significance is that it was built by Cornelius. This house was built by Cornelius Johnson's father, Chadwick Johnson, in 1903. And the family itself has significance. They settled in Los Angeles in the 1890s. Cornelius's father was an independent contractor. He worked on the May Company building. He worked on luxury residences that had been designed by architect Paul Williams. He was a trustee of one of the city's oldest African-American churches, First AME. And the home is where Cornelius Johnson returned to after the 1936 Olympics. And I just want to mention that the Johnson family built the home in 1903, lived in it until 1994, more than 90 years when they sold it. And it is possible, we have to do the research, that this home is one of the earliest extant residences built and lived in by an African-American family in Los Angeles. And now I'm going to turn over the presentation to my co-applicant, Christian, and he will talk about the Cornelius Johnson Oak.
Yeah, thank you very much, Susan. My name is Christian Kosmas-Meyer. I will take the next 5 minutes to recapitulate the story of Cornelius Johnson's Olympic Oak. So during the medal ceremony for high jump on August 2, 1936, Cornelius Johnson received his gold medal and a small potted oak tree, which you can see in his left hand in this photo. This was one of the so-called Olympic oaks that have been handed over to all Olympic champions in the Berlin Olympic Games. And the idea for this gesture had a German gardener, which the German Olympic Committee approved as a, quote, beautiful symbol of German character, power, strength, and hospitality. Next slide, please. The Nazis had chosen the oak as their favorite symbol. For them, it symbolized the strength and the endurance of the German nation under Nazism, which you can see mocked about here by John Hartwig in 1933. The idea to gift oak saplings fit perfectly into Hitler's plan to use the games as a propaganda tool to make the Nazis' brutal treatment of Jews, political opponents, and others seem benign only 3 years before the soldiers invaded Poland and started World War II. Next slide, please. The 129 gold medals and Olympic oaks were awarded to athletes from 20 different countries, among them 24 for U.S. athletes. And in the picture on the left, you see Jesse Owens with two of his four Olympic oaks. On the right photo, he's pictured with Cornelius Johnson and Forrest Towns. Today, only 25 Olympic oaks are known to be alive, among them six in the USA. All others have either died of natural causes, been killed for the symbolic meaning, or simply had their whereabouts forgotten. Slide. Both Owens and Johnson have planted their oaks upon the return to the U.S. To them, these small trees represented a living testament to their own victory and a reminder of a time when a group of African-American athletes from the USA showed the world that the Nazi government's racist creed of Aryan supremacy was deeply wrong. Here we see the only one of Jesse Owens' four Olympic oak trees that has survived this day, located in Cleveland, Ohio, and is protected as the historic cultural landmark and marked with a plaque providing the context of its history. Next slide, please. Cornelius Johnson planted his oak in the yard of a family home where it still lives today. As long as he was alive, he passionately cared for it. After his death in 1946, the family treated the ever-growing oak like a living memorial to their dead son and brother. And they even put a sign on the tree that reminded visitors of its significance. Next slide. In 1994, the new owners, who had moved to California from Mexico, became the oak's new caretakers. They knew its history, and yet the oak also became part of their own family history as well. For them, the Olympic oak was a source of shade and a playground for their children, and they kept it in really good shape. Next slide. So over the past 88 years, this tree has grown into an imposing tree and a landmark towering over a peaceful, culturally diverse neighborhood. If you look at all the history associated with this tree, you can say that its history has been turned on its head. What once began as an attempt to use a small plant as a representative for an inhumane ideology today reflects values of friendship, excellence, respect, courage, determination, inspiration, and equality. So Johnson's Olympic Oak is a unique example of a living testimony and a reminder of some of the most important lessons we have learned from the 20th century and which should serve as a moral compass for us in the 21st. But today the oak is in great danger. Next slide, please. Since the house was sold in 2019, the tree has been completely neglected without proper watering. Some of its roots might have been damaged by the recent construction of new buildings in the adjoining properties. And all this together makes it more susceptible to pests like this polyphagous shot-hole borer or powdery mildew. And in these two photos, which were only made 8 years apart, you can clearly see the difference. However, most of the problems of the tree have begun in the past 2 years since the property was sold. And I emphasized this at the last hearing, but it has become even more urgent in recent weeks. Action must be taken immediately if the tree is to be saved. Kim and Richard from Esoteric, which I think are also present today, have invited the horticulturalist Dr. Hodel last week to visit and assess the tree, and he has made a list of 7 points that he thinks need to be implemented within the next 4 to 10 weeks. If you want to save this tree from falling victim to a new building, we must also ensure that it recovers from its current poor health. The experts say if action is taken now, the tree has a good chance of making a full recovery, but there's no more time to waste on this subject if you don't want to be too late. So let me please just make a short final statement. The Johnson family home and the Cornelius Johnson Olympic Oak deserve to be preserved and treasured as living symbols of Los Angeles' history and hopes. The house that the Johnsons had built 119 years ago is most probably among the earliest extant residences built and lived in by an African-American family in this part of Los Angeles. Their son Cornelius became the best high jumper in the world and, for a short but important historical moment, a political figure of the resistance against racism. Together, house and tree can serve as examples for us all. And as Los Angeles prepares to welcome the world to the 2028 Olympic Games, the Johnson family residence and the Olympic Oak recall the past, embody hopes for the future, and remind future generations to rebel against racism and nationalism that divide and destroy. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, do you have any questions for the applicant? Okay, seeing none. Lambert, does the owner want to make a statement?
I believe the owner is here. I don't know if they are planning to talk, but he can raise his hand if he would like to.
Didn't want for the record. So he was here earlier, but it looks like he already dropped off.
I still see Simon Hong, who I believe is also connected with ownership, I think.
We'll see if they raise their hand. Okay, I guess not. No, I do see one hand raised, but Simon Hong did raise his hand.
We can promote him.
Hey, Simon, you've been promoted. You have some comments you'd like to make? No, he's back to muted.
Hello?
Hello? We can hear you.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. For now, I don't think I have any comment, but we want to know what kind of options do we have it for the after you guys make a decision? So that's all we need to know.
Right, the process is after we make a decision, if we decide to, it should be designated, the house and tree should be designated, it goes on to the Planning and Land Use Management Committee of City Council, and then on to City Council for their final action. I suggest you speak to Lambert Giesinger in the OHR staff to sort of see what options you have during the period that's under consideration, and what options should it be designated, what your options are after that. But I would also encourage you to do whatever is required to bring the tree back to health in the process, as the process will probably take more than the 8 to 10 weeks that the presenter initially mentioned.
But as you know, that property was on the market for sale. We can't afford it to hold anymore, so we put that in the market for sale.
and I hope you find a buyer who's sympathetic to the history that that site represents. Go on.
Yeah, but we was waiting for that final decision.
The final decision won't happen for at least 6-8 weeks, going through Plum and through City Council. So, speak to Lambert about what your options are at this point, what your options may be going into the future, and prospective buyers should probably speak to Lambert to sort of see how their plans jive with what the requirements will be if it becomes.
If I might interject, I was going to save this for later if this came up, but this might be an appropriate moment since this is coming up with the owner. There are a number of organizations that have expressed interest in participating in a potential purchase of the property in order to preserve the tree and the residents. We have been in touch with a number of nonprofit organizations. And most notably, the organization, the Los Angeles Neighborhood Land Trust, which is among a consortium of organizations, has expressed interest in taking a lead role in purchasing the property and holding it for a period of time until an ultimate plan and program for its reuse can be put forward. So we would be happy to facilitate discussions with the owner, the ownership team, with some of those organizations, but just wanted to alert the commission to the fact that there are discussions that are taking place and parties that are interested in helping to secure the future of this property. That said, again, the issue before the commission today, of course, is to evaluate the nomination on its merits as to whether it meets criteria for historic designation.
Thank you, Kathy, for that clarification.
for the clarify that Mr. Ken said you guys are interested in purchasing the property for your community?
Just to clarify, the city itself is not interested or able to purchase the property, but there are nonprofit organizations that often play a role in acquiring land for public purposes. And we're happy to facilitate discussions with you to discuss how that could occur moving forward.
Oh, sure. Appreciate it.
Okay. Okay, thank you. All right, commissioners, unless you have any questions for the applicant, let's open this for public comment.
Yes.
Diego?
Diego Vasquez, City Planning, for item number 6, simple instructions for public comment. If you dialed in telephonically and would like to give public comment, please press *9 and *6 to unmute. Looking for hands. First caller, Chief Ross, you have been unmuted. You have 1 minute.
Jean Frost for the West Adams Heritage Association. We strongly support the designation of this property as under criterion 1 as well as criterion 2. It tells a story of very significant history of families in Los Angeles and their development. This is extremely critical and very important. And I want to thank Susan Anderson and Christian Mayer for their persuasive and excellent application. West Adams Heritage urges that you designate this under both criteria. And I also thank staff for the support of the designation. It tells such a moving story. And this is the hidden Los Angeles that strictly architectural drive-by surveys don't bring to people's attention. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Moving on, next caller, Laura Myers, you have been unmuted. Please unmute.
Hey, I'm Laura Myers, and good morning. As you are aware, I and several others brought this to the commission's attention, I want to say about 6 months ago, and then Ken contacted us to say that there was another application already in process. So in working with the applicants, their wonderful, excellent HCM is also very personal and experiential. And so what I and Rena Rubenstein did was do a deep dive into documents, census, voter registration. So, and we really have concluded that it is the Johnson family residence. It really ought to be renamed that. The Johnsons purchased the property to us in around 1896. Charlotte Johnson, who's the mother of Shedrick and the grandmother of Cornelius, they were pioneer African-Americans in this community. It's hard to say if they were the very first. They were just part of a handful. When we look at voter registration records and census records, there were a few others by the time those documents were created. It's an important reminder of the challenges faced at home in the 1930s by African-Americans and still today, both the house and the tree. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Next caller, Richard Chave, you have been unmuted. Please unmute.
Hello, Commissioner. Richard Chave here, private citizen. I'm in support of this nomination. I am also here to lay the groundwork for environmental horticulturalist Dr. Don Hodel whenever he gets called for public comment. I'm here to be John the Baptist and be the voice in the wilderness, asking whoever is interested in buying this house to buy it and save the tree. The tree is in dire shape and may not survive by the time this nomination gets to Plum. Okay, so what I'm about to say has nothing to do with this nomination, but the fact that if the concrete is not removed and irrigation, 12 inches deep, drip irrigation, is not implemented soon, this tree really may not make it. It's not in good shape. And so again, this is outside of the scope of the nomination, which I support 100%, but I'm just putting that out there. Who's ever on the fence thinking about what to do about possibly purchasing this house, now is the time to do it. And I look forward to Dr. Hodel's comments.
Thank you for your comment. Next caller, caller 2526, you have been unmuted. You can unmute by pressing star 6.
Yes, this is Jim Childs for Ad Hoc in support of the nomination. Given the lead-in of your 60th anniversary, I'm anticipating your approval on this. But I would remind you all that Monument 35 is the site of the birthplace of Adlai Stevenson. It's around the corner from me, and I use that as an example that not all designations have to be architecturally significant. So you all understand that, and you all know what's before you today. This is the Olympic City. You know, we've hosted two, and another one's coming. And to have, you know, this kind of history connected to the city's monuments would be extremely important. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you for your comment. Moving on, next caller, last caller, Donald Hodel, you have been unmuted. Please unmute.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, please proceed.
Oh, what a pleasure to offer some information for you folks. I'm definitely in favor of the nomination. For 36 years, I worked for the University of California Cooperative Extension here in Los Angeles, where I did tree research and education. And in 1988, I wrote a book called Exceptional Trees of Los Angeles that identified and documented the oldest, largest, most historic, or culturally significant trees of their kind in the county. And I didn't know about the Cornelius Johnson Olympic oak tree at the time, but I sure would have included it in my book. However, hindsight's better than, hindsight, you can't do much about that, but I visited the tree. I think it's in critical condition, and we need to act rapidly if we're going to save this tree as a living legacy. And I think some of the concrete needs to be pulled back. We need to establish a drip irrigation system, get a certified arborist in there who specializes in preservation of old historic trees. So, and I can be a resource also. So thank you very much for giving me this time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your time. Next caller, last caller, one more caller, Christy McAvoy, you have been unmuted. Please unmute.
Thank you, commissioners. I'm happy that I stayed on the line after the 60th anniversary presentation. My friend Susan Anderson has written a wonderful application for a story that we don't know, or I did not know, sorry. many people do know it, and it sounds to me like we have a great team to help with the preservation of this property, which tells a wonderful story. So as an individual preservationist, I support the nomination.
At this time, Commissioner Malosky, we do not have any more hands raised for this item.
All right, let's close public comment on this item. I think as a number of callers mentioned, and I think one of the important things about the historic designation in the city is the ability to tell stories, that this isn't about architecture necessarily. This is about the stories of the people, the places that sort of make the city of Los Angeles unique. I also think that tagging on to Jim Child's comment, I think with the Olympics coming back to LA in 2028, it's all the more important to sort of preserve, you know, this tree as sort of a reminder of, you know, the Olympic history, the Olympic, you know, the depth of Olympic athletes who've lived and trained in Los Angeles, and the history that this tree represents relative to the 1936 Olympics. So I'm definitely in favor of this designation. Also want to thank the applicants for a very concise and beautiful presentation. Thank you. Other commissioners?
Yeah, I was on, Pilar and I were on the tour, and the comments about the tree being in poor condition are 100%. When I was there in talking to the owner, I encouraged him to try to bring some irrigation into the tree, because I thought the property would be, if the tree dies, the people who might be interested in purchasing this tree or this site become less, because anybody that's going to purchase the site for the tree needs to be alive. So I also, while I was there, when I was getting in my car at the end of the meeting, I bumped into the neighbor immediately to the east, who shares the property line, and he said only a year ago that the tree was, you know, in full, had leaves and whatnot, and that it looked a lot healthier. So it's, you know, it's on a downhill slope right now, and as everyone has said, it's very extremely critical that something happens, you know, as soon as possible. I'm supportive of making this a monument, having it go forward. I think, as Barry said, it's a compelling story, and these are the kinds of things that the commission, or stories that the commission likes to preserve. So I'm in favor.
You went with Commissioner Welland. Do you have any comments, Pilar?
No, I agree. I think that it meets all the, you know, criteria to become a monument. You know, when we were there, it was obvious that the owner didn't know right when he purchased it. Just, you know, I'm not sure how, as a commission, we spread the word about monuments or be a little bit more proactive so that people know, you know, when they're purchasing a monument or potential monument. Because it's just, you know, it's too bad that now we're like in the middle because he's selling, because he doesn't have the funds to restore. And so I hope that whomever is interested really moves forward fast, so that, you know, it can mitigate the situation a little bit. But definitely worthy of a monument. Designation.
Commissioner Kennard, Commissioner Kanner.
Yeah, I'll just add some comments. I was not on the tour, but just looking at the photographs, it looks like the interior of the home is in fairly good shape. Is that correct, Commissioner Barron and Wellna?
Yeah, the house is in pretty good shape. It's definitely something that could be, you know, fluffed up and made to look mm-hmm. like a livable historic home.
Okay. Yeah, and I share everyone's concern about the health of the tree, and if there's anything there's any city agencies or Bureau of Street Trees, anybody who could come in and just do some remediation, just, you know, whatever can be done working with the current owner, I think that would be appreciated. So I totally support the designation. It's a very rich history. That, to Commissioner Wellness comment, you know, this is the reason why our commission is so important, because we don't know these stories. You know, we didn't know this history. Even, you know, the realtors in the area, they probably didn't know the history of this. So that's why it's so important to uncover these stories.
I'd like to make a comment. The next door neighbor, who was a Hispanic gentleman, knew that it was Olympic Oak.
Mm.
He knew that he'd lived there for several years, and he knew, and the owner of the property knew that it was the Olympic Oak. So it wasn't like it was hidden. I don't know. I believe he told me that he told the new owner that it was an Olympic Oak, and that may not have made much sense to someone, or might maybe not have had a lot of value, but I'm just, the people in the neighborhood, at least the man next door, who was probably in his 50s or 60s, knew that he had told me, oh, you're here to see the Olympic Oak. And I said, yes, I am. So anyway,
maybe I could just make a mention, and Christian as well. The family, there was a plaque on the tree for many years that the family installed to designate it as an Olympic Oak and mention the history. And the family had really stewarded that history for a long time. The plaque got removed. I don't know when and I don't know how.
I know, Susan, because this was really when the property was sold and the new family who moved in, they removed the plaque because they felt it was related to the other family that lived in here before. Mm. And I've spoken to most of the neighbors when I made my artistic work back in 2017, because I made a video with the drone flying around the tree, and I had to get the permission of all the neighbors to do so. And so this is when I told many of the neighbors about the tree and its history. So the one gentleman you spoke to might have heard this from me back then in 2017.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Kanner, any thoughts, comments?
We can't hear you.
You're muted.
You're muted. Yeah.
Lower left-hand corner, Diane. Okay, I think Commissioner Kanner will go back to her telephone instead of a fancy computer thing she's working on. And when we get to vote, she may have to raise her hand one way or the other. I think, I guess the question I've got is, any of these people negotiating or thinking about purchasing it willing to step in and maintain the tree? And the question back to the owner is the comment that Richard made, Commissioner Barron made, that part of the value of that site. Part of the value, we can hear you, Diane. Part of the value of that site, in fact, is the presence, the existence of a healthy tree on that site. So it's in the owner's best interest, if they're looking to sell, to maintain, irrigate, do what's necessary to keep the tree alive and healthy. And it may be in the interest of any of the potential buyers. I think it's also an interesting possibility if, in fact, the house, instead of becoming a residence, restored as a residence, could become, you know, a museum, a monument, you know, to the history that the house and the tree represent. That goes back to the other museums to sort of work in that capacity, work with the potential buyers. But I think there is a definite potential there.
Yes. Thank you, Commissioner Milosky. And on your last point, I think that is very much the hope of some of the organizations that are beginning to talk collectively about the future of this property, seeing it perhaps as much more than a residence, but really for all the reasons that have been stated, the history of African Americans, this kind of early family in Los Angeles, the Olympic movement itself and the Olympic history of the city and what the tree represents. So I think there is that interest. I think if an organization can gain control of the site, I think there is and we really thank Mr. Hodel as well as Richard Shave and Kim Cooper for putting the spotlight on the urgency of the situation. I think you know, it really would require the cooperation right now of the existing property owner, but clearly there would be the strong interest to get in and take whatever remediation action and, you know, whatever is needed to reverse the decline of this tree that seems to be very rapid. There had been an earlier arborist who had volunteered his time, I think, working with some of the applicant team here associated with the Huntington, who also had assessed that you know, the tree is in desperate situation. But I think the tree has declined significantly even since he was last at the property, I think several weeks or a few months ago. So it is quite an urgent situation and requires cooperation among the parties to reverse this.
Thank you, Ken. I see that Hakeem Park Davis from CD10 is online. Do I need to reopen public comment for Mr. Davis to speak?
This is DCA Kimberly Kwanku. That's not necessary since he's part of the city staff.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Hakeem, you want to say a couple words from CD10?
Sure. Afternoon now, everyone. My name is Hakeem Park Davis. I'm the planning deputy for Council District 10, and I cover historic preservation and land use issues in Council District 10. I want to thank you all for your consideration of this property. I want to thank the applicant for their diligent presentation and exquisite storytelling ability to really preserve the history of not only Cornelius Johnson, but his family and their early settlement in this community, even going as far to look into Cornelius Johnson's father, who was a contractor who worked with many well-known architects of latter years that have also been contributing to historic and cultural nominations in Los Angeles. It is unfortunate that the tree is in declining health, and I hope that the future owners will set a priority and bring this tree back and nutriate the soil and get it back to good health so that future generations can visit, enjoy, and commune under the tree. The building is also worth preserving in the sense that it also tells the story of the historic Black family in Los Angeles, an early settling family in Los Angeles. So I want to thank everyone involved, including the ownership, for their willingness to bear through the financial burden of working with the city, the historic preservation advocates, and the community. So with that, I'll end my comments, and I strongly urge that you adopt the cultural heritage nomination for the property and for the personage in the historic context, Cornelius Johnson. This is Los Angeles. This will be our third Olympics, and it would be a great feat to have this location on our story map for folks who come to visit Los Angeles in the near future. My comment there,
Hakeem Pardavis, Council 10. Thank you. All right, commissioners, do I have a motion? Any final comments?
Commissioner or President Malofsky, do we want to discuss what the landmark should be known as?
We sure can.
Cornelius Johnson. Cornelius Johnson and family residence in Olympic Oak?
This is Commissioner Kennard. I would argue to keep it as Cornelius Johnson because he is the most prominent individual associated with the house. I think, you know, if the house is preserved, the tree survives, that the story can be told. I mean, it's a great story of the whole family, but I don't think it's necessary to say and family. Johnson is a pretty common name, so I know there was one suggestion to call it the Johnson family residence, but I think Cornelius Johnson residence in Olympic Oak is the most appropriate, unless anyone has any other comments.
Yeah, my tendency is to agree with Vice President Kennard. I think, you know, there is a backstory with the family in the house, but the main element that sort of brings it to prominence and the attention of, you know, the commission and hopefully city council is the relationship to Cornelius Johnson and the tree. Richard, any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm good with Gail's suggestion and thinking about it. I'm not having a problem with it.
Can I make a nomination?
You sure can.
Okay. I move that we nominate the Cornelius Johnson residence and Olympic Oak at 1156 South Hobart Boulevard and adopt the staff report findings.
Richard Barron, I'll second.
Alice?
Alice Inouye for the record. Commission Vice President Kennard?
Yes.
Commissioner Barron?
Yes.
Commissioner Bolna?
Yes.
Commissioner Kenner?
Yes.
And Commission President Molaski?
Yes.
And the motion carries.
Okay, thank you. All right, moving on to our final item on today's agenda, the Kuhn House.